RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voy Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Minister Rizal Ramli plans to increase tourist visits. We urge people to respect religious tolerance. Minister Nasir agrees steady pens program for students. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Resources, Rizal Ramli said that he will raise the number of tourists visit to Indonesia, as the current visit only reaches 10 million people and will be increased to 20 million. The strategy needed to raise the number of visits is that the government must first add visa-free countries to the current list. So far, 47 countries had been added to the list. The government needs to improve flight categories through lobbying. Minister Rizal said that from the International Civil Aviation Organization ICAO perspective, Indonesian airspace included under Category 2, meaning that it is parallel with countries in Africa. In order to increase tourism, it must enter Category 1. Therefore, lobbying is required. Minister Rizal added that Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan has been instructed to make it in the list within the next 1.5 years and to improve radar system and personnel. In addition, the government must determine tourism areas outside of Bali. Considering the massive tourism potential outside of the region, one of it is Toba Lake, which is intended to be as the Monaco of Asia because it is so beautiful. However, selling tourism for its beauty will attract fewer tourists, so there should be a story value and imagination offered. He said tourism destination in Indonesia will not only sell sceneries, but should also have histories behind it. Deputy Speaker of the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, Tengku Sukarnain, has yet to deliver a statement concerning the incineration of HKI Dalin Lagan Church in Aceh Singkil. Tengku said on Wednesday that he fears that it will worsen the atmosphere. Tengku suggests the old party to restrain themselves and to avoid provocation. Moreover, he reminded fellow Muslim in Aceh to respect other religions. He also said the people should gain permit before establishing religious places. Muslim needs permit to build an mosque. Political regulation will result in sanction. Minister of Technology, Research and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, agreed to defense minister opinions on the state defense program. Minister Nasir claimed that he had spoken directly to the defense minister, Ria Mishat Riachudu, requesting national insight and state defense program to be designated to Indonesian students. Minister Nasir said on Tuesday that the program is in line with the ministry's vision. Minister Nasir said that Indonesian students need state defense insight to face the Millennium Development Goals in 2030. He believes that state defense can help develop and improve student nationalism. He added that developed nations such as Singapore, Japan, South Korea and United States have also given state defense program to their younger generations. The minister added that Indonesia is trying to do the same. Minister of Communication and Informatics promised to connect Jakarta with 4G. Rudiantara, Communication and Informatics Minister, admitted that the site needs Jakarta provincial government assistance to realize the plan. Minister Rudi said after meeting Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama on Tuesday, the installation should be done in November if there is no problem. Minister Rudi added that the installation will meet problems such as permit from the building owner. Meanwhile, Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama admitted that he is ready to assist the plan. He will send a letter to the building owner relative to the 4G connection installation. He admitted there are still building refusing installing the connection. If the building still refuses, Governor Basuki continued, Jakarta Provincial Government will not issue Layan Fungsi or SF certificate. He discussed that this is part of public facilities, so the building owner must obey the program. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama is said to encourage Singaporean business people to invest in Jakarta during his visit to the country next week. Governor Basuki on Tuesday, as quoted by BeritaJakarta.com, said that there will be meeting and discussion with several local business people to invite them to join the infrastructure development projects. Several provincial administration-owned enterprises are said to send representatives with Governor Basuki, including property developer PT Jakarta Propertindo or JAKPRO, lender Bank DKI, and project operator PT MRT Jakarta. According to Governor Basuki, there are many issues in the capital city that need to be addressed, such as waste management, gas fuel power plant, seaport, and logistics. He plans to bring the provincial administration on enterprises personnel alone to work as a business-to-business deals. He said the aim is to spark the interest in entering the project directly in the financial sense. For example, they could establish a joint company with their bank DKI or JAKPRO. Minister Basuki added that there was no need to cycle the world to look for investor. He is confident the research for investor can find success in Singapore. Former Industry Minister of Egypt Ibrahim Fassi appreciated visa-free policy of the Indonesian government for 75 countries including Egypt. He hoped that the Egyptian government also takes a visa-free policy for Indonesia so that more Indonesian citizens will visit Egypt. According to Ibrahim Fassi, a visa-free policy for Indonesia is necessary to be performed by the Egyptian government, as it is useful to enhance bilateral trade relations and to strengthen people-to-people contacts. I underline how the policies of the Government of the Republic of Indonesia have exempted visas to citizens of 75 countries more recently. It is a very wise move. I hoped the Egyptian government could take a lesson from this policy so that what is expected by Mr. Ambassador earlier is that Indonesian citizens can visit Egypt not only for trade but for social relation culture so that the context between the two nations will lead to love and unification of vision between the two nations whose relationship is very close. Related to investment, Ibrahim Fassi hoped that investment opportunities that exist in Indonesia need to be socialized to Egyptian people, especially the youth of Egypt, so that they know how many opportunities and investment potential are in Indonesia. The last item, the momentum of Islamic New Year, First Muharram, 1437 Hijriah, is expected to make Muslims aware with religious values and purposes to build the world, not to destroy existing civilizations. Great Imam of Jamaica Muslim Center Samsi Ali said, the emergence of radical groups which has occurred recently become serious concern throughout the world. Muslims are appealed not to be influenced but to maintain integrity in the midst of society. According to Imam Samsi, the event of Hijra or migration by Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Medina, which was inked in Islamic history, is an beginning struggle that must be continued. In addition, he asks human beings to replay the values contained in the course of Hijra to make improvement in the social life towards better system. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled The U.S. is to launch patrol in South China Sea. Listener, United States reportedly will sail its warships to the South China Sea in the coming week. According to media reports, the measure is taken by the United States to demonstrate that it doesn't recognize the Chinese territory there. The American warships reportedly will be sailing in the area of 12 nautical miles around the Spratly Islands, which declared China as its territory. According to the Financial Times and Navy Times, China has even made reclamation there. While the spokesperson of China, Wang Chunying, said China would pay attention to the report on the entrance of the U.S. warships to the South China Sea, He said, so far, China and the U.S. have raised a very thorough communication related to the South China Sea issue. Hua also said China hopes the U.S. side can see objectively and fairly the current situation in the South China Sea. Hua stressed that China also sincerely play a constructive role in maintaining peace and stability in the South China Sea. On the other hand, the U.S. refused to comment on the possibility of the existence of the secret naval operations. The U.S. State Department and the Pentagon are not willing to respond to the report. Earlier, U.S. President Barack Obama, in a meeting with the President of China, Xi Jinping, in Washington in late September, expressed his concern about the situation in the Spratly Islands. China reportedly built an air base on an artificial island in the South China Sea, though the region is contested by China, Vietnam, the Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, and Taiwan. For the United States, the South China Sea is a free area for sea transport traffic. Therefore, this area should be free of ownership claims from any party. When its interests are threatened, as usual, the U.S. will act to secure it. One of them could be by sending warships to secure the waters. For a small country such as Vietnam, Malaysia, and the Philippines, the presence of the U.S. warships can be considered as an aid. But for the giant China, the action can be regarded as a challenge. On the other hand, China also knows very well, in the Asia-Pacific region, there is always Australia, which shares the same ideas with the U.S. It takes a counterforce to make a more equitable world, but it would be nice if those countries which have a large military force are aware of their responsibility for maintaining regional and the world peace. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from October 14, 1913, the tragedy of Sangyanit Colliery coal mining. The Sangyanit Colliery disaster, also known as the Sangyanit explosion, occurred in Sangyanit near Caerphilly, Glamorgan, Wales, on October 14, 1913, killing 439 miners and one rescuer. It is the worst mining accident in the United Kingdom, and one of the most serious globally in terms of loss of life. The explosion gained this distinction nearly half a century after the previous worst disaster in Barnsley on December 12, 1866, when 388 workers died in two separate explosions. Four memorials to the disaster are located in Sangyanit. The first is outside Nanti Park Primary School, which is built on the site of the old mine. At Sin Senet Comprehensive School is a list of names of those who died from the explosion, and they have a truck of coal as a memorial. There is also a memorial of the local pub, the Green Pint. On October 14, 2013, on the centennial of the disaster, a Welsh national memorial to all mine disasters was unveiled at the former pit head. On October 14, 1953, Zionist Army Massacre at West Bank. The Kibya Massacre, known in Israeli as Operation Susana, and also known as the Kibya Incident, was a reprisal operation that occurred in October 14, 1953, when Israeli troops under Ariel Sharon attacked the village of Kibya in the West Bank. At least 69 Palestinian Arab villagers were killed. 45 houses, a school, and a mosque were destroyed. The attack followed cross-border raids from the Jordanian-occupied West Bank and Israeli reprisals. In particular, the attack on Kibya was a response to the Yehud attack, in which an Israeli woman and her two children were murdered in their home. The act was condemned by the U.S. State Department, the U.N. Security Council, and by Jewish communities worldwide. The State Department described the raid as shocking and used the occasion to confirm publicly that economic aid to Israel had been suspended previously for other non-compliance regarding the 1949 Armistice Agreement. The operation was codenamed Operation Susanna by the Israel Defense Forces IDF. It was carried out by two Israeli units at night, a paratroop company and unit 101, a special forces unit of the IDF. On October 14, 1964, Luther King, the youngest Nobel laureate, Martin Luther King Jr., sometimes referred to by his initials MLK, was an American Baptist minister, activist, humanitarian, and leader in the African American civil rights movement. He is best known for his role in the advancement of civil rights using nonviolent civil disobedience based on his Christian beliefs. King became a civil rights activist early in his career. He led the 1955 Montgomery bus boycott and helped found the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC, in 1957, serving as its first president. With the SCLC, King led an unsuccessful 1962 struggle against segregation in Albany, Georgia. The Albany Movement, and helped organize the 1963 non-violent protests in Birmingham, Alabama, that attracted national attention following television news coverage of the brutal police response. On October 14, 1964, King received the Nobel Peace Prize for combating racial inequality through non-violence. In 1965, he helped to organize the Selma to Montgomery marches, and the following year, he and SCLC took the movement north to Chicago to work on segregated housing. In the final years of his life, King expanded his focus to include poverty and speak against the Vietnam War, alienating many of his liberal allies with a 1967 speech titled Beyond Vietnam. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Void Green. Today's edition entitled France Shores That Indonesia Meet Its Commitment to Reduce Emissions. French Embassy ensured that Indonesia can meet climate change commitments, namely achieving reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 29% in 2030. French Ambassador to Indonesia Corinne Bruce, as reported by Antara, recently said that Indonesia has a major role in the issue of climate change and the French are very confident Indonesia could fulfill its emission reduction commitments. Ambassador Corinne said Indonesia's participation is very important in the International Conference on Climate Change under the auspices of the United Nations or the Conference of Parties COP21 in Paris, France. The conference will be held on November 13 to December 12. According to Ambassador Corin, Indonesia is seriously in addressing climate change issues since Indonesia in 2009 voluntarily announced a reduction of emission by 26% and currently committed to 29% by 2030 or up to 41% with the support of the international community. In addition, Indonesia also has proposed the participation of COP21 on September 24th. Corin said that so far Indonesia has submitted its contribution to COP21 and it is a good signal for France as the host country. Earlier, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius told Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi that France appreciates the government of Indonesia for their commitment and contribution to the COP21. Minister Retno said the delivery of national contributions to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change is the real contribution of Indonesia as a member of non-annexed country in tackling climate change. Minister Retno said that as a developing country, the commitment of Indonesia is highly developed and countries must work together to support each other in order to create capacity increase in order to realize community resilience in facing of climate change. In COP21, there will be pavilions from Indonesia that show some state organizations and companies that have been successfully in limiting the temperature. The main purpose of the International Conference of Climate Change, Conference of Parties, COP21, to get agreement on increasing global average temperature at below 2 degrees. Because if the rise in climate temperature is too high, it means that the sea level will also rise and extreme natural disasters will occur, such as floods, heavy rains, and the volcanic eruption. That was Voy Green.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Resources Risa Ralmi said that he will raise the number of tourism visits to Indonesia as the current visit only reaches 10 million people and will be increased to 20 million people. Deputy Speaker of the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, Tengku Sukalnain, has yet to deliver a statement concerning the incineration of HKI Delen Lagan Church in Aceh Singkil. Minister of Technology, Research and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir agreed to the Defense Minister's opinion on the State Defense Program. Minister Nasir claimed that he had spoken directly to the Defense Minister Ria Misar Riachudu requesting National Insight and State Defense Program to be designated to Indonesian students. Ministry of Communication and Informatics promised to connect Jakarta with 4G. Rudiantara, Communication and Informatics Minister, admitted that his site needs Jakarta Provincial Government assistance to realize the plan. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama is said to encourage Singaporean business people to invest in Jakarta during his visit to the country next week. Governor Basuki on Tuesday, as quoted by BeritaJakarta.com, said that there will be meeting and discussion with several local business people to invite them to join in the infrastructure deployment projects. Former Industry Minister of Egypt Ibrahim Fauzi appreciated visa-free policy of the Indonesian government for 75 countries including Egypt. He hoped that the Egyptian government also take a visa-free policy for Indonesia so that more Indonesian citizens will visit Egypt. The Momentum of Islamic New Year First Muharram 1437 Hijriah is expected to make Muslims aware with religious values and purposes to build the world, not to destroy existing civilization. Great Imam of Jamaica Muslim Center Samsi Ali said the emergence of radical groups which has occurred recently becomes a serious concern throughout the world. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Enu Beach in Central Sulawesi Province, so stay tuned. Listener, Donggala Regency has many tourism objects. One of the tourism objects is Enu Beach. Enu Beach is located in the north of Palu City, precisely at Enu Village, Sindu Sub-District, Donggala Regency, Central Sulawesi Province. Enu Village is located at the northern coast of Central Sulawesi. Central Sulawesi people also call the beach with West Beach. Listener, Enu Beach is still dense with tropical trees and mountains as the background, and also many stones surrounding the beach. The beach directly faces another tourism object, Karang Bay. Enu Beach has beautiful sea park, caves, and soft corals, which is home of various kinds of fish, etc. This beach is suitable for snorkeling, windsurfing, and diving. Visitors can rent snorkeling and diving equipment at the beach. The beach is still clean, beautiful, peaceful, and comfortable. When walking at the beach, visitors will be presented with the beauty of the beach, with white and clean sand, as well as rocks along the beach. Enu Beach really presents the beauty of nature, which can soothe the soul. The vast sea has clear water, so that the fish which are swimming can be seen clearly. It makes the scenery more amazing. Enu Beach is located around 40 kilometers from Palu City. If you want to enjoy the scenery of Enu Beach, you can drive your own car or use public transportation. It takes around 45 minutes. Along the trip, you will see beautiful scenery at the left and mountains at the right. Wind breeze off the coast will give freshness when the sun shines. The village, which is still green and traditional, will spoil the visitor's eye. Listener, if you have a vacation at Enu Beach, but you forget to bring your own food, you don't have to worry, because at the beach, there are many stalls which sell local culinary. And don't worry about the price, because it is affordable. Well, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Dimana Pasar Ikan? Dimana Pasar Ikan? Or in English means Where is Fish Market? So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that relate to our today's topic. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. Pasar ikan. pasar ikan, which means fish market. Permisi, permisi, which means excuse me. Di mana, which means where. Jakarta Utara, Jakarta Utara, which means North Jakarta. Masih, masih, which means still. Jauh, jauh, which means far. Dari sini, which means from here. Berapa lama, which means how long. Kira-kira, kira-kira, which means around. 25, 25, which means 25. Menit, menit, which means minute. Naik kendaraan umum, which means by public vehicle. Terima kasih atas bantuannya. Terima kasih atas bantuannya, which means thank you for your help. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali, which means you're welcome. Senang dapat membantu Anda. Senang dapat membantu Anda, which means my pleasure. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that relate to our today's topic, between Danu or A and Lina or B. I will say them 2 times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Permisi, saya mau ke pasar ikan. Permisi, saya mau ke pasar ikan, which means, excuse me, I want to go to the fish market. Boleh tahu di mana letaknya? Boleh tahu di mana letaknya? Which means, can you tell me where it is? B. Pasar ikan ada di Muara Karang, Jakarta Utara. Pasar ikan ada di Muara Karang, Jakarta Utara. Which means, fish market is in Muara Karang, North Jakarta. A. Apakah masih jauh dari sini? Apakah masih jauh dari sini? Which means, is it still far away from here? B. Ya, sekitar 5 km dari sini. Ya, sekitar 5 km dari sini. Which means, yes, around 5 km from here. A. Berapa lama waktu yang diperlukan? Berapa lama waktu yang diperlukan? Which means, how long does it take from here? B. Kira-kira 25 menit naik kendaraan umum. Kira-kira 25 menit naik kendaraan umum. Which means around 25 minutes by public vehicle. A. Terima kasih atas bantuannya. Terima kasih atas bantuannya. Which means thank you for your help. B. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. Which means you're welcome. Senang dapat membantu Anda. Senang dapat membantu Anda. Which means my pleasure. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening, and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which presents you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Lesimore Band, a classic pop band that comes from Jakarta and was formed in 2010. The group consisted of Leonard Panjaitan, the bassist, Yosi Aditya Warman, pianist, Happy Thomas, vocalist, and Benu Kakerisa, also vocalist. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song from Lesimor Band entitled Dirimu. Beginning from a friendship of Leo and Josie at school period. After that, Benno joined in the group, then they formed a band with the name Equalizer. The band, often called the favorite band in some band competitions, until Happy joined them in 1992. The four friends then brought the name Lesimor to their band. The personnel continued to work by taking their talents respectively. The bassist, Leonard Panjaitan, never took formal education as bassist. But his love to jazz music when he was teenage made him to be one of the best bassists at SMA 68 Jakarta. While Yosi Aditya Warman, who got formal education on piano since he was a child, continued to show his talent along with three other personnel of Lesimor Band. Benu Kakerisa with Happy have composed some songs for the group, such as Jangan Bisikan Cinta and Lullaby. For the next song, let's enjoy it to a song entitled Jangan Bisikan Cinta by Lesimor Band.
Kau bisikkan cinta bila hati tak ingin, tak perlu. tukar janji tak pasti. Usah kau bilang setia bila hanya mimpi. Tinggalkan asa yang menganga. Waktu-waktu kau selalu ada di hatiku. Hari-hari yang berlalu tak sirna bayangmu. Binar di matamu dengan lirikan manja yang menggetar rasa di hati. Oh, wanginya cinta bila hati tak ingin. Tak perlu kau umbar janji tak pasti. Usah kau bilang setia bila hanya mimpi. Tinggalkan asa yang menganga. Tapi jangan bisikkan cinta bila hati tak ingin. Tak perlu kau umbar janji tak pasti. Usah kau bilang setia bila hanya mimpi. Tinggalkan asa yang menganga.
Now the vocalist of Lacey Morgan, Happy Thomas. His vocal experience was started since childhood in a vocal group and choir at his school. His creativity to play music began from Equalizer Group, and as a semi-finalist of Asia Bagus in 1996 in Jakarta, then along with some group bands, he formed in 1999 to 2002 in Melbourne, Australia. His talent to create various lyrics resulted in some songs such as Dirimu and Arti Tiga Hari. Happy also invited Yosi to produce a song Cerita. Lacey Morgan is actually become an alternative group in the Indonesian music industry. With the simple songs and easy listening music of Lacey Morgan represented the desire of music lovers who do not represented by other band groups. Listener, before we conclude today's music corner, we'll present you to the last two songs by Lacey Morgan entitled Cerita and Lullaby. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
This is just a lullaby for you to hear and cry. In here I've never tried to love you. This is just lullaby.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Selalu ku Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.